Welcome back, bitches. I'm Jen Douglas, co-host of Can We Fix It podcast, joined today by my friend Maura Walsh. How you doing, girl?
Living the dream, lady. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much. So we have a lot to talk about tonight.
Seriously, we were going to have a guest on, but over the last few weeks, we had scheduled guests and missed a bunch of like pertinent stories that are like popping off in the fucking city. So we got to do a Can We Fix It roundup tonight.
Yes. Welcome to our roundup of loose ends in Rhode Island.
Yes. Just tying up some loose threads that we started with you guys in previous episodes. First loose end, we got three fucking patrons last episode. What up, team? Go.
Way to go. Thank you, everyone.
I would like to point out that none of them were fucking representatives. I was trying to shame the elected officials who listen to this shit for free. Okay? You guys are the you patrons are the real MVPs here, and we appreciate you every day. Also,
Shameless
people. Fucking electeds with these like fancy state jobs. You could pay us. You just don't want to. Also, shameless self-promotion here because this arrived, and I'm saying this like you guys can fucking see what I'm doing. I got a resolution in the mail from the Secretary of State. And we all know how I feel about resolutions. They're stupid. They're meaningless. They're just a fucking piece of paper and a waste of time. Well, that was until I got one honoring Representative Maura J. Walsh for her service to the people of the state of Rhode Island. And now I love resolutions, and I take back anything bad I ever said. I'm not going to read it because I have yet to be able to read it without crying. However, the last line says, whereas F. Scott Fitzgerald wisely stated, never confuse a single defeat with a final defeat. And so it is with certainty that Representative Walsh will rise and continue to represent and support the hardworking people of our state. Oh, and the top five.
So nice.
I know. And the top five were Shikarchi, Blazjewski, Philippi, Casimiro, and of course, my girl Kazarian. And
thank you, everyone.
I know. And what was really, really sweet is that, like, when you get to the signature page, like, it's like all in the margins and stuff. People signed like all the way. It's just, it was very sweet. And I, for a moment, rethought the nasty things that I said and then realized, like, no, I still said them and I meant them. But it's a very nice piece of paper, and I appreciate that.
It is. And just because we say salty sometimes,
inflammatory
things about people, does not mean that we do not want to work with them. It does not mean that we don't appreciate them or even respect them. It just means we're holding you accountable for things.
I know. And people seem to get all sorts of butthurt about accountability now. They're like, it's cancel culture. I'm like, it's the consequences of your actions. But I mean, you could call it whatever you'd like. And speaking, you know, we do a lot of shitting on the politicians when they don't do the right thing. But I think we should start off with, you know, one of the rare occasions where a politician listened. Governor Dan, the inflatable man, picked not only a woman of color, but a badass progressive, like, leading woman of color, Sabina Matos, chairwoman of the Providence City Council, to go from running the capital city to the lieutenant governor job. And
I'm pleased.
I am. And I don't think that you guys, if all of the research that you did on LG candidates was from our show, you definitely did not hear much about Sabina because her resume wasn't comical or ridiculous. Also wasn't 45 pages long.
We probably respected her, which was why we did not drag her.
Right. And like, honestly, if her resume had sucked, we would have said so. But we didn't have to because it didn't. So credit where it's due. Thank you for doing the right thing, Governor Dan. Thank you.
100%.
Thank you.
Thank you, Governor McKee.
Now,
I think it's the first time I've actually said Governor McKee and not Lieutenant Dan. So we have made milestones today, people. We've reached a milestone.
Guys, we're growing up here. We're growing up as a podcast. episode 27. It's where we really hit our stride. So one of the things that is interesting about picking Sabina Matos for the lieutenant governor position is that it is like the most chaotic, neutral choice that you could possibly have gone with. It throws a wrench into so many different plans. I mean, first and most obviously, we need a new council president and probably a new city councilor. I don't imagine she's going to be the lieutenant governor and the city councilor. Although I did read that it's not technically illegal.
I think she did say that she would resign, though, as soon as she was sworn in.
Oh, good. Because that just seems like an awfully...
That's a lot of work.
That's a lot of fucking... Well, I mean, is it, though? Well, because yeah, haven't we kind of established that the LG job isn't like, right, not like super importante? Yeah.
The minute it came out of my mouth, I'm like, well, actually, she probably would have time, but I get it. She wants to devote herself to the new endeavor. And
it's nice of her to not collect two taxpayer paychecks. As we have seen, it's like a fucking thing in a bunch of places.
Yeah, it's going on a lot.
Did you see the North Providence person who was collecting two paychecks and the I believe it was Mayor Lombardi who was defending them was like, she is regularly there until 5:30. She's one of the hardest workers I have ever seen. It's like,
that was the worst endorsement ever. I was
like, oh babe,
how late do you think the rest of us work?
Oh babe, no, that's not how. Do you realize how that sounds to, like, us actual worker bees? Like, we fucking hate you even more than we already did. And this is the mayor that they spray painted, like, a portrait of him on a, like, golden toilet with a crown. So, like, it's pretty clear how we feel about Mayor Lombardi. So, in addition to her having to give up city council, there's obviously going to be a special election in the city council. And I don't know if you guys have noticed, but the special elections have been tending to lean very progressive as of the last couple of years. People who didn't win in regular, progressives who didn't win in regular elections, and I'm thinking of councilperson Alex Kithis from Woonsocket, who won by a pretty wide margin in the special and then lost in, I don't know if he had a primary or a general election.
I think I know he had a general.
I think he may have also had a primary, but I don't recall. My apologies for not being super on top of the Woonsocket political scene.
Sorry.
We'll get there. We're a little hyper-focused right now on the scumbaggery that occurs at the State House, and that knows no borders, guys. That knows no borders at all. But yeah, I do have high hopes for this special election because I think that, again, a lot of them have been leaning very progressive in the last couple of years. And the final thing that Sabina Matos becoming the LG throws a wrench in is the mayor's race, because it was highly speculated that she was going to be running for mayor in Providence in 2022. So that frees that up.
And then she already stated that she's running for lieutenant governor in 22 again. So that completely takes her out of the mayor's race.
Right. And now what does she do if Governor Dan doesn't win? Does she like continue to run on her own? You know what I mean? Because she's been saying she's going to run on a ticket with him.
Right. I would assume. How about it, girl? You run.
Yeah,
don't
I guess.
Don't let that dead weight drag you down. You don't make it. Sink or swim. You keep swimming, baby girl. I go for it. That's what I want to say.
You know that leave no man behind shit? That's, I mean, you can leave a man behind.
Yeah, you can leave a man behind if you have to. If it brings your badass back to the table, you leave that man behind.
Shit happens. I'm just saying, don't tie yourself to Dan the Inflatable Man. He's been here 3 months. We don't know. I say 3 months like he hasn't been the lieutenant governor. Okay, yes, technically he has been the lieutenant governor. But if we recall, his number one, proudest thing that he did as lieutenant governor was gather all of the seals from every city and town and bring them to the State House. This is when he was asked, Right. I am most proud.
Where we need to do more for the lieutenant governorship. It has to be
a real job. Why are we paying money for it? So that once every 45 years, he can replace the governor when they die or go to jail or improbably get promoted to national government?
Yeah, we can't have that anymore. You can't just be a lady in waiting. You have to make something of it. And I am thinking that maybe Matos will be ambitious enough to make something happen.
Right, but position. I still think
that... That'd be really interesting to see.
I still think that the legislature needs to jump in and make the parameters of the job a real job. Like, even if LG Matos goes in there and like whips things into shape, I think that should then be written into law. I don't think that we should be able to have a position that pays, you know, what, like $100,000 a year, some ridiculous shit like that, to be able to be a do nothing job. I don't think that do nothing jobs should exist on the taxpayer's dime. I know that that's, you know, a ridiculous thought that all of the taxpayer money should be used fully to its highest potential. But hey, it's my thought. We got to move on because we have a lot of other things. So in the same vein of Governor Dan, Governor Dan decided to take like a weird stand on the climate bill, where he was like, it's going to be bad for business. I, as the small business, the self-designated small business champion of our state, I'm not going to sign a bill that's bad for...
Too many frivolous lawsuits are coming.
Right. It's all sorts of weird, ridiculous shit. So...
Yeah. Dan put a scare in us. I didn't like that.
I didn't either. But here's the thing. Then we all complained, as we are getting very good at doing, guys. And... The bill went back and forth a little bit between the House and Senate chambers, but no real meaningful difference. Like, it still has all the tenets of the Climate Act, and Governor Dan is now set to sign it. So I don't get him yet, you know? Like, I don't get him yet.
It would have been the biggest boss move if he had just gone in there. This was his first major bill to sign. He would have just said right off the bat, yes, I'm going to sign it. I support it. But then there was like all this weird waffling, like this back and forth and back and forth. And I'm going to send it back and have them change it. I want to make it so just the attorney general can sue the state, which obviously we have Nirona now, but you can't look into the future and say we might not have somebody who is as reasonable.
We could have Kill Martin all over again.
And it just took a lot of ridiculous time to get through it before he actually just went, okay, I will sign this.
Yeah,
but good on everyone who complained.
But now that you say that, like, that has kind of been the trajectory for him as of late, don't you think? Like, when at first he had to pick a lieutenant governor, he was like, fuck you guys, I'm not telling you shit. And then everybody was like, whoa, what the fuck you mean? This is usually like a public election. What do you mean you're not telling us shit? And then he was like, nah, I'll show you everything.
Nobody told us shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I don't.
And I'm wondering if maybe we should be putting this out there because I don't want him to know all of our secrets. Like, every time we bitch and complain, is he going to do what we want him to do? I mean.
I also don't know if he has. So I don't think he has a lot of conviction in his convictions, number one. And number two, I don't think he's got a lot of balls. Like, I think he wants to have balls when it comes to standing up to the legislators, but he has zero balls when it comes to standing up to the constituents and the activists, because he really wants to run for, I mean, he could be a fucking Jeopardy question, right? He could be the longest serving governor in the littlest, bittiest state. And that could be his fucking legacy. Because otherwise, as we have clearly established, he is going to be Governor Dan, the forgettable man. So like, this could very well be like, he knows that he has to tread very lightly, because he really desperately wants to be governor, you know, ad nauseum. I'm sure there's like an actual title for it, but that sounds like the perfect title. Now, that being said, I think that one of the things that's good about this is going to sound super fucked up, but it's also accurate. Like, fucking get at me, Republicans. Republicans are really good at showing up the first time, right? To be like, hey, fuck you, don't sign that climate bill. But then once it goes back and forth in committee a little bit, they get distracted. Nike hires Colin Kaepernick for an ad and they got to go burn their fucking shoes. Or, you know, Dr. Seuss stops making its own book and they all got to have a fucking meltdown on Fox News. And they forget. Mm-hmm. They forget that the bill is still in play. They forget that things are still happening. It could very well be that Governor Dant knows that. And he said, hey, no, fuck you. Just for a minute while all the Republicans, you know, got distracted. And then, okay, I'll sign it. You know, because that would be a very clever way to do things.
That would be.
I don't think he's that smart. I think he's just, he doesn't have any confidence in any of the decisions that he makes. Like, I still think back to when he said, I'm going to pick the lieutenant governor, because there was maybe some wiggle room in the language about, like, maybe the legislature would also have a hand in it. And he was like, I'm going to pick the lieutenant governor unless, like, the legislature wants it. And then, like, we can totally talk about it. Like, even when he, like, puts his foot down, he doesn't put his foot down, you know?
Let's see if he gains his footing over the next 2 years or so. I feel like I do. I feel like he just needs to go in there and just have a little confidence.
Honestly, no. I have the exact opposite opinion, Jennifer. I love what he's doing right now. Stay the little weenie you are, Dan. You are a cute, adorable, little malleable Bob Ross-haired puppet, and I love it, okay? Just keep responding to what the people want. Don't listen to the fucking representatives. They're loud and annoying, and they speak to you in legalese, and they have those fancy ties. They're the worst. Listen to the people. They're the ones who are going to vote for you or not.
They're the ones who will elect him. If he does everything right.
Right. So I don't mind that he pitches these little, like, hey, I'm not gonna, as long as at the end of the day, he does what the fuck he is told. Because at the end of the day, that's your job, bro. Your job isn't to fucking listen to all of the negativity and the Tara Granahans and the fucking John DePietros and all the, you know, ridiculousness that goes on. Your job is to listen to the people who hired you. Us, bitch. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Now, seeing as how we've already touched on the Republicans, why don't we check in with our friends, the Morgans? The Morgans. It would make a horrible / amazing sitcom. That would be a nightmare to watch. It would be like one of those awkward sitcoms.
Worst buddy film of all time.
Right. One of those, like, cringe ones where you, like, the humor is the fact that it's uncomfortable. So on the House side, we've got Patricia Morgan, who, ever the class act, has put in a bill that would ban schools from teaching about racism and sexism. Now, I don't know if that means...
So basically, stop teaching history at all.
Right. So are we stopped teaching that they... We're teaching that they exist, or we're just not talking about them? Like, I don't fully comprehend. Like, how do you cover slavery?
Like, how do you not talk about the history of this country and not include racism or sexism?
How do you talk about the present of this country? How do you talk about the present of this country without talking about sexism and racism?
Exactly. And the fact, I mean, my God, like, what, they're the ones, I mean, she still probably believes that, you know, we came here to this country and we were all hunky-dory with our indigenous peoples and they all supported each other. And no one gave anybody any smallpox blankets. That's just a, you know, a liberal conspiracy theory that ever happened. I mean, these people are so out of touch with reality.
I don't understand how they believe in Jewish space lasers, but not in the idea that people are incredibly fucking cruel to other people. Like, space lasers, that's more plausible for you? Okay, whatever. Do your thing, chicken wing.
Especially when they're the cruelest people that I have ever met. They are so cruel. They want to take rights away from everyone, from trans people, from, you know, poor people, from women. Over and over again, they just want to strip everybody of our rights, but they don't
I also just want to point out, I think it's absolutely fucking hilarious that the party of like, meh, cancel culture, like, meh, liberal snowflakes, like, meh, fucking, like, infringing on my freedom of speech, now has a bill in that is like the fucking pièce de résistance of all three. Like, what the fuck, you guys? Why are you this dumb? Is it on purpose? Exactly. Because, like, I would honestly respect them more if they were lying. Like, there's a couple of them up there that, like, I don't believe that they believe the bullshit that they're spewing. Blake, Mike, Chippendale, Brian Newberry. Like, I feel like a lot of that is, like, pomp and circumstance that's added for effect. I don't think they give nearly as much of a shit about the things that they, you know, pontificate on the floor. The Patricia Morgans of the world totally believe that shit. 100% believe that, like, chemtrails are, like, raining down fluoride to make us dumber. Like, for sure believes that, like, if we just stop talking about racism and sexism, it will cease to exist in its entirety. Or, alternatively, that it doesn't exist anymore, and therefore we no longer have to talk about it. Okay, so then stop teaching kids about dinosaurs. Is that the fucking criteria? If it doesn't exist anymore, it's not worth learning? All right. There's a lot of shit we got to get rid of in our curriculum then.
Mm-hmm. And the Morgans are really good at that. You know, Patricia Morgan puts in that bill. Elaine Morgan is, speaking of, you know, snowflakes needing their safe spaces, they have this Facebook group now down here in Cherahoe that Elaine Morgan's very active in. And it's called Cherahoe Community, Fight Critical Race Theory in Our Schools. And their tagline is, don't let them take away all that we have built.
What? Okay. Whoa, what? Yeah. Ew. Yes. Is it?
So it's like, it's literally an anti-racism group, which is just like, you know, the Republican fancy way of saying I'm racist. But my favorite thing that she posted in there was a meme. And it has these kids in it in black and white. And this is posted by your state senator, Elaine Morgan, everyone. And it reads, poor children of every color picked cotton. Open a book and gain some knowledge.
Jesus, fuck, what?
Apparently trying to make the fact that we actually enslaved people fine. Because white kids did it too.
What the fuck?
So much wrong with this. I can't even wrap my head around it. But the thing is, this is like normal here. Like, this is what we're working with here in Washington County, is the fact that nobody even blinked an eye at it. And the five of us that took offense, they're like, losers.
What the fuck? Girl, I know that you're trying to, like, run and change things, but you gotta leave. They're gonna murder you.
Yeah, trust me. I think they're already plotting it. So let's not get too deep into that, or else I'm not gonna sleep tonight.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, these people are fucking crazy, and they truly think they're on the right side of this fight.
I also love that they, like, basically named their Facebook group not the KKK.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my god. Oh Jesus Christ. Oh, thank god there's only a couple of them. But guys, this is why we check up on them, okay? Because as we've previously stated, when the Republicans are quiet, it's like the fucking raptors in Jurassic Park when they learn to open the doors. Bad shit is happening, okay? You can safely assume, if you haven't heard them melting down in public lately, that they're doing some weird, weird shit. Like, for example, the not racist group that is advocating to just pretend that racism and sexism never happened and, you know, make teaching it punishable by, I don't know, what, some biblical shit, right? Like stoning in the desert by a fucking, like, unclean man. I'm sure it's some weird fucking QAnon nonsense. God damn it.
Oh, yeah. And every now and then in the comment threads, you'll see the where we go one, we go all hashtag. So you know that there's, like, some deep shit lurking in those corners.
I also love that we started this episode being like, listen, guys, we're holding you accountable. It's not that we don't respect you. And then we get to the Morgans and I'm like, nope, I changed my mind. I don't respect you. I don't respect you even a little bit.
I'm not even holding them accountable anymore. Oh, no. They do what they do. They're just awful humans.
No. Do you hold a feral hog accountable when it comes rampaging through your yard? No, you don't. You realize that that is in the hog's nature. And as with all feral animals, the Morgans are no exception. We know we can't train them. We know we can't change them. We just have to watch in awe of their ferocity and power as they just Kool-Aid man their way through the fucking state house. Oh, yeah.
And just, you know, put up a warning sign.
Just fucking, just kicking holes in walls wherever they go. It's fine. It's fine. Everybody back away slowly. They have a lot of guns and they're clearly not super mentally stable. So that's the end of the Morgan segment.
Unfortunately, we can't discount the Morgans quite yet as much as we would like to, because there are two things going on tonight. One, I believe Pat Morgan had a conversation tonight about letting Rhode Island vote, but not the way we want to let Rhode Islanders vote. I know she was trying to do her usual blocking of any access whatsoever to early voting, mail-in voting.
Right. So let Rhode Island vote only if they jump through several flaming hoops. And also know how to speak seven languages. Just let Rhode Island vote.
Right. Just let them vote. But, you know, I'm going to give you all of these obstacles so you can't really vote. So she's just trash, that one. I can't even deal with her. And then in the Senate side tonight, they're hearing all of the gun bills. I mean, there's a lot of gun legislation that is being heard tonight. And I'm sure it is a nightmare for everyone involved. Just from what I'm seeing on Twitter, the discussions that they're having, you know, like the conversation about, you know, somebody, they just had a school shooting in Tennessee as these hearings are going on. And that was the one thing I did not miss about being on lockdown, was the fact that we didn't have any more school shootings for a year. Mm-hmm. And now suddenly here we are and we're back.
Where there is school, there will be school shootings.
And it is not a good thing, obviously.
Well, so one of the things that really bothers me about the debate about this is, I think it was Senator Raptakis who said, you know, Rhode Island has not ever had a, you know, like a school shooting or a mass shooting or whatever and blah, blah, blah. And first of all, what the fuck? Don't jinx it. Like, what is wrong with you? Second of all, like, why would we want to tempt fate? It's happened in all like 49 other states. Why would we be the anomaly? And finally, yes, Rhode Island has not had a mass shooting because we fucking instate common sense gun laws, you goddamn morons. Like, when we had that shooting at the nursing home a couple years ago in, what was it, Westerly or something?
Yes, it was in Westerly.
It was in Westerly. So what had happened was the woman had a restraining order out against her, I believe it was her ex-husband, and he was not allowed to buy a gun in the town where she had a restraining order out against him. Unfortunately, because of the way that the system worked, police departments were not in communication with each other. So he just went to a different city where he did not have any restraining orders out and purchased a gun in that city. The Rhode Island legislature immediately took up the process of closing the loophole that that man used. It was passed in, I want to say 2018. I think it was 2018 because we were definitely
2019.
It had to be 2018 because we were still in the, like in the actual physical state house. And
well, you were in 2019 too.
Yeah, but barely. We hadn't even gotten any work done yet. That doesn't count. I didn't even think we had a fucking debate. Oh, Jesus Christ. That year did not exist to me. No, straight up.
I do think it all happened in 2019 because I actually had patients that lived in that complex where the woman was murdered. I think it was just in 2019 that you actually passed, like, closed the loophole.
I distinctly remember that we were going to name it after the victim. And then a representative got up. I was like, I think it's fucked up that we're naming it after the victim, but not the other lady who survived. So then they postponed the bill. They hurried up. They named it after the victim and the lady who survived. And then they found out that neither the lady who survived nor the victim wanted the bills to be named, nor the victim's family, rather, wanted the bill to be named after them. And it was just like the most classic, Rhode Island House of Representatives fucking bullshit blunder of all time. Like, that's right. Exactly how everything works in that fucking dumb, stupid ass building. It's just like, let's do it, but let's do it dumb and fancy. And then we'll have to redo it smarter and less fancy 7 or 8 times. And then we'll pass it. Okay, sure. Fucking, why just do it on the first try, right? You know, we've also got...
It'd be too easy.
I know, it would be way too easy.
It'd be way too easy.
There are a lot of gun bills that are up today. I want to see if any of them...
I'm going to pull them all up right now.
I know, I have them all up right now. So... The Republicans do have a bill in that requires the Office of the Attorney General to issue a report containing the total cases charged with a firearm in all Rhode Island courts and a list of cases charged with a firearm which have been disposed during the calendar year. That doesn't sound bad, but I'm immediately suspicious because it's all Republicans, which makes me think that the reason that they want that information is so that they can then, quote unquote, prove that all gun violence or most gun violence is done by non-registered weapons.
Right. 100%. There is no altruistic reason for this. There's no...
Never fucking trust a Republican.
They want to know. They want to know so they can find some way to say, gotcha, it's not legal gun owners. Gotcha.
Oh, God, this is also not good. And again, De La Cruz, Rogers, Paolino, Lombardi, Lombardo, Morgan, Chacon, Raptakis. Never a good combination. Amends the definition of firearms to include tasers as well as stun guns. Cool. Cool.
I have a question, though. We're not allowed to carry tasers now?
I don't believe so.
So that would make us able to have tasers instead of like feeling like we need to protect ourselves with a gun.
Yeah, but that also means that anywhere you can bring a gun, you can bring a fucking taser. And I don't know that I feel any better about everybody being equipped with tasers. Plus, if it's the Republicans,
that just means they're going to carry a gun and a taser. Yeah, these people won't be happy with just a taser. They'll want the gun too.
I feel like if you actually asked them to disarm, it would be like a spy scene movie where it's just like 45 weapons, like an ankle gun, a back gun, a shoulder blade gun, a fucking like hip gun. Just like, oh, Jesus Christ, I didn't want to know. I didn't want to know.
Or it's going to end up being an issue like the woman who just shot that young gentleman.
Oh, yes, I meant to. I only meant to tase him.
I only meant to tase him. You pulled out a gun and pulled the trigger. I don't really know how you make that mistake. So, yes, I take back my taser comment.
Okay.
Because I think it's probably a terrible idea.
Also, we have one that allows an individual to lawfully possess a device that would silence the sound of a natural report of a rifle or shotgun. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Why are you letting people have silencers? And it says it's to hunt game, but how much of a fucking advantage do you need? They're not armed. You're in camo.
They're not going to shoot back. And by the time you fire, they're already dead. I don't think that there's like this split second where they're like, ooh, I hear a gun. I'm going to fly away. Like, it's not. You're making it easier to hurt people without them hearing you coming.
I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. Yeah.
And also, you know, my favorite one here is where they permit law-abiding, qualified people to have a reciprocal concealed carry from state to state. You know how janky the gun laws are in other states? Like, we're pretty good here in Rhode Island, but you've got some janky ass just like, you want to carry a concealed weapon? Sure. You don't need any training. You don't need a background check. You don't even need to buy your fucking gun legally. You can just pick something up.
You got an honest face. You know that? Here, take my hunting rifle.
I don't want them coming here. Don't come here with your janky concealed carry weapons and be given full access to all of our spaces in Rhode Island. No, thank you.
Oh my God, my shoulders are like up to my ears right now. I am so uncomfortable. All of these are making me so itchy.
So there is another bill that I do like, that the Republicans are against. It will prohibit anybody bringing a gun onto school property, which I think is a common sense measure to have less guns on school properties, which is something that has shown to be not a good thing. And of course, that's something that they are not happy about. The Republicans are actively fighting against this one right now.
Now, here's my issue with this, right, is it makes an exception for peace officers, retired law enforcement officers, person under contract to provide school security services, et cetera, blah, 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 blah. I personally do not love that every gun law has police carve-outs. One of the not so well-kept secrets about the police force is that they have a really serious domestic violence problem. One of the things that we know about domestic violence is that it escalates and that victims who are in homes with guns are significantly more likely to die at the hands of their partner and those guns. It makes me very uncomfortable that every time we make a law that is supposed to be common sense and restricting gun access to people who would, you know, use it inappropriately, we always exclude police officers as if they automatically are going to be assumed to use guns right. I personally think it should be no guns on school grounds, period. Not cops with guns, not kids with guns, not peace officers with guns, not security guards with guns. I don't think that our kids should go to school where there are fucking guns, especially when we have already established that a good guy with a gun doesn't necessarily fucking do anything.
Sometimes he runs the other direction.
Sometimes he doesn't run at all. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just really tired that, like, it is 2021 and we're still pretending as though, like, the police are going to always be the responsible party in these scenarios. Like, there's no fucking evidence for that. And I really just, I wish that that were something that we would stop slapping on to the end of these bills. We did it with the domestic violence bills. We did it with the red flag bills. There's always a carve out for cops. And the cynical part of me says it's because they know that if they took guns away from everybody who was accused of beating their spouse, that they wouldn't have any police officers left. Fight me on it, motherfuckers. I dare you.
Oof.
Fight me on it. Like, when my significant other was in the police academy, I, as the loved one, was given a book called I Love a Cop. And there were three or four chapters in there that let me know that statistically, I was much more likely to get divorced or die at the hands of my partner than I was to have a successful, healthy relationship with them. They didn't provide me with any, oh yeah, I swear to God, this book exists. Go on Amazon. It's a real thing. He would come home from the academy and be like beat up and exhausted. And I would be sitting on the couch reading like a literal fucking nightmare of a story about how like, and then one day he's just going to snap and come home and kill you. And then himself. Hi, sweetie. It's fine. Everything's fine. It's fine. So yeah, just that's my little soapbox moment on the gun bills. But I do think that overall Rhode Island usually does a pretty good job. I think that we often do some bullshit things that aren't actually meaningful, but that make us feel good. But I think that a lot of these bills actually are meaningful. We went over a bunch of the shitty ones. I do want to talk about some of the good ones. We have an act relating to criminal offenses and weapons, which makes it a felony to store your firearms unlocked, which...
I was just going to talk about that one because I love it. You want to talk about the most common sense measure that for some reason our gun legislators, the ones that really like their guns, they're very upset about this. Like, what is so difficult about locking up your firearms so nobody else can get their hands on them? That one blows my mind.
Yeah. There's another one over here that, I mean, is good in theory, but also, like, what the fuck, guys? Prohibits purchasing, obtaining, transferring a firearm on behalf of another person if the other person is prohibited from possessing a firearm.
Right. Like, why is that a problem?
Well,
I mean, why is it a problem? No, I take. Let me rephrase that. Why do the Republicans have a problem with that? There should be. It should be a no brainer. Yeah, you can't buy a gun for somebody who shouldn't have a gun.
That's
common knowledge.
Am I the asshole? Like, I want to take it a step further and be like, you can't buy a gun for somebody. If you want a gun, you go and buy your own fucking gun, okay? Don't gift people guns. Don't gift people guns. That's fucking weird. That's weird. Yeah. Don't do that.
Yeah, that's not, that. Trust me, I don't think that's a normal thing either. I get that other people enjoy it. Fine, have at it.
No, no, no. This is once again, we disagree on this, Jennifer. No, don't have at it. No, do not have at it. Have at nothing. You buy your own guns, okay?
How about if you want to give somebody a gun, you bring them to the gun shop to get their own gun so they can do a background check on themselves? All right. So see, I have to let this all be out there. I live in the woods. Most of my neighbors have guns. I have the most adorable neighbors who live next to me, who the man who lives next door is a retired police officer and firefighter. His wife was my children's preschool teacher. And
he gifted you a gun.
And he has a gun, and his wife liked her so much, he bought her a pink one, and it was adorable. And we'd go out and we'd go target shooting in the woods. And honestly, it's a wholesome good time. We have a lot of fun with them. However, I do understand the fact that you shouldn't be buying guns for people who can't buy guns for themselves. That should be completely illegal. But I do live in kind of an alternate universe from where some other people live. And I understand how a husband might want to buy his wife a pink gun.
I wish you could see my face right now, because I'm just like, have the most like no face on ever. Think this is like a cute story about like you and your old neighbors, like going, I'm like, there are elderly people, you know, the people that I don't like to see behind the wheel of cars, they have guns, right? That didn't occur to me that you can't ever be too old for a gun. Why would you be too old for a gun? It's a right. Well, oh, not, Jesus Christ.
They're not too old. They're like in their late 50s, early 60s. They're not like 90 tottering around in the backyard. Like, I can't see what I'm shooting at, dear. Like, it's nothing like that. It's like they totally have their faculties about them. So maybe we should start talking about age limits too, because I don't know if those laws exist, and they probably should.
Yeah, I remember a few years back, somebody suggested that we like make additional driving tests for elderly people, like every year. Yeah. That like, you know, if you're 70 and over, you have to get a test done every, you know, 5 years or whatever. And like, I really wish that shit came to fruition, because like, I have been nearly murdered by Meemaw on the highway doing 25 in the high speed lane on way too many occasions.
And like, I really do have to say, you start hitting 75 years old, cataracts start creeping in, 1 year passes and suddenly you can't see shit. And you don't know why, but you're going to keep driving. I feel like there should be some ability to monitor that.
Yeah. Well, for some reason, the way you described it, I really did imagine them as like these two elderly people. And I was like, I don't know if I think this story is as cute as you think it is, Jen. This story seems a little reckless.
Adorable, because they're actually really awesome people, but they're not elderly people that are just kind of wandering around with guns. It's not like that at all.
Man, you ruined it. You totally ruined it. It's all good. All right. So in covering all of those gun bills, I now have to make a correction, which, to be fair, Jackie Goldman, one of our previous guests, pointed out on Twitter many, many weeks ago. What's her name? Jessica De La Cruz does have some garbage ass bills, y'all. She just put them in after we checked. That's all that happened, is we must have checked the day before her bills hit the fucking website, because we gave her credit way too quickly. We take it back.
It's true. We have to remind people that we record this almost a week before it's actually aired.
Exactly.
So what happened in that interim? You know, we have a good 5-day stretch where a lot of shit can go down.
Right. Which, you know, inevitably could make us look like idiots, but we choose to give no shits because we look like idiots anyway. I can do that on my own time, bitch. So this was kind of a tying up of loose ends slash Maura and Jen go rogue on the podcast. But there was like a bunch of weird little shit that I wanted to make sure we got back to and covered. We are going to be having a couple of mayoral candidates coming on the show soon.
Excellent.
We are also going to be throwing a couple new polls up on the Patreon. We want to hear from you guys. It's been a while since we've asked, do you want more Bills content? Do you want more representatives or elected officials? Do you want more activists? Do you want more shade? What is it that you want from us? And also, we are going to be doing a special when we hit our 50th episode, which is fast approaching, my friend.
Nice.
And I'm thinking maybe we're going to do like a Facebook Live, ask me anything kind of thing, but we're definitely open to suggestions, so make sure you tweet at us at More of This Please, and tweet at Jen at
Vulpinator One
giggity, and make sure you head to patreon.com/canwefixit to check out the new polls. If you're an elected official making that good state money, you can go ahead and click on the patron button. I appreciate all of you. As always, stay safe. Wash your hands. If you have an appropriate flavored kidney, let Jen know. And fuck them neighbors. Well, no. Jen just told a nice story about her neighbors. So I guess be a good neighbor this week.
Fuck most of your neighbors.
Fuck most of your neighbors. Exactly. Thank you for tuning into Can We Fix It? We'll see you next week.